And welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. More than 20 years after its infamous real estate and equity bubble burst, Japan has been plagued by economic malaise, an ailment most mainstream economists have attributed to something they call a deflationary death spiral. As one lost decade turned into two, and now well into number three, Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has vowed to remedy this deflationary flu with an enormous dose of inflation. In Japan, they affectionately refer to this elixir as Abenomics. In English, this remedy roughly translates to an enormous injection of public spending, more than a spoonful of currency destruction, chased down with a large dose of a consumption tax. And if deflation had actually been what ailed the Japanese economy, it would appear that after more than two decades, they finally found their cure. The price of food is soaring at the fastest pace in 23 years, and core consumer prices jumped 3.2% year over year in April. Unfortunately, those Japanese who are only sick of the stagnant economy are starting to wonder if Dr. Abe misdiagnosed the original disease. With an economy in perpetual stagflation, slightly falling to stable prices was the one salve. As anyone who lived through the 1970s can avow, low growth can't be assuaged by rising prices. And with wages excluding overtime and bonus payments falling in Japan for a 23rd straight month in April, Japan's economy is falling victim to a new kind of outbreak: stagflation, stagflation, and more stagflation. Stagflation, by the way, to define it, is an inflationary period accompanied by rising unemployment and a lack of economic growth. In fact, a favorite stagflation diagnostic indicator, termed the misery index, which adds the jobless rate, which is 3.6%, to overall inflation, which is 3.4% and climbing fast, reached a 33-year high 2 months ago. Rising prices helped Japan's misery index to the highest level in decades, while wages adjusted for inflation fell the most in more than 4 years. If inflation continues at this clip, it won't be long before Abe is forced to forego his Abenomic tonic in favor of a bottle of a Japanese inversion of whip inflation now buttons. And as Japan falls sick with the stagflation flu, it's only a matter of time before we see this pandemic spread to Europe, just as it has already infected our dear land of the United States of America. The Japanese prescription for deflation contains the same active ingredients of tax hikes, spending, money printing that caused the U.S. economy to begin to resemble that of the 1970s. Indeed, consumer prices across the developed world have already stopped the healthy decline experienced after the real estate bubble burst in 2007, and since have broadly headed higher. U.S. consumer price inflation is exceeding the 2% target set by the Fed as of May, after falling throughout most of 2009. You see, as the economy collapsed in 2008 and 2009, the one benefit that we had was that oil went from $147 a barrel to $33 a barrel. That was a huge break to those who didn't have to drive at all because they didn't have a job. But when they had to go drive to the grocery store, the price of a gallon of gas was crashing. If they wanted to buy a house, the price of a house was crashing. If they wanted to get back in the stock market and put their capital to work in investments, that was crashing. Those were all good as those prices were being reset. But Ms. Yellen doesn't like it as much as Mr. Bernanke didn't like it. And she should be ending QE completely. She should have stopped it already, and she should be normalizing interest rates. However, since growth targets have remained elusive and will continue to disappoint until central banks stop looking to boost GDP growth through money printing, the Fed stubbornly clings to its easy monetary policies. It seems that no matter how overwhelming the evidence is to the contrary, governments are continuing to believe that growth is a direct byproduct of one thing, and one thing only: how much inflation they can create. Perhaps the truth is, well, not perhaps, actually, the truth is that government's primary agenda isn't to produce growth, but rather to find any excuse to create the massive amount of inflation needed to bail out the insolvent condition of their nations by reducing the value of that debt. I mean, they would love it if growth was to just appear through hocus pocus. But growth isn't going to be 5 or 6%. You know, you need those kind of growth rates that you might have seen in the mid-80s, where a huge increase in the labor force, huge increases in productivity. That's not going to happen. That doesn't happen by magic. It takes a booming population and one that is unfettered and free of regulations and taxes. We're just not going to get the growth needed. So what they do is they try to create a massive amount of inflation. So that's how they think they can grow their tax base, by creating inflation. It never works, but that's what they think that they can accomplish. So it's time for Japan, along with Europe and the U.S., to say sayonara to deflation and konnichiwa to the dreaded condition of stagflation. The size of central banks' balance sheets around the globe have massively expanded into record territory in recent years. This should have caused a commensurate increase in the gold price across multiple currencies. Adding to the upward pressure on the yellow metal is the estimate from China's chief auditor that the nation used $15.2 billion worth of phony gold ownership to vastly increase access to credit. Chinese security authorities are also probing alleged fraud involving other metals such as copper and aluminum stockpiles, which have been pledged multiple times in order to expand collateral for loans. This factor has aided the Chinese economy to increase debt 25-fold since the year 2000. Debt levels have exploded across the world alongside the proclivity of central banks to create record amounts of credit. In addition, real interest rates are profoundly negative, and persistent inflation has now become the stated goal from most governments. Most importantly, recently achieved inflation targets set by the Fed are being completely ignored by the current regime of the Federal Reserve run by Janet Yellen. So, finally, the manipulation of prices and fraudulent use of supplies have created a tremendous boost for gold values. And that is why we at PPS, Penta Portfolio Strategies, have recently increased our allocation to gold mining shares in our inflation deflation dynamic portfolio. And now for a quick message, proprietary for this podcast. The link between the growth in the Fed's balance sheet and the performance of stocks is undeniably clear. I'm going to give you some information. You must listen to this, exclusive to podcast subscribers. QE1 ended March 31st, 2010. The S&P 500 dropped 12.6% 3 months later. QE2 ended June 30th, 2011. The S&P 500 dropped 16.7% within the following 3 months. Those are facts, verifiable. Go look them up yourself. I continue to believe the risks are high, that extremely high, that a market correction will occur around the end of July, because at the end of July, QE will be down to $25 billion a month, and the well-telegraphed fear about the end of QE is going to probably cause high probability that the correction will happen around that time. I've said it for a while, and I think our time is here. If a correction doesn't happen by that time, if a correction doesn't happen in late July, very early August, that doesn't mean it won't occur. It just means that the inevitable crash will be even worse than I originally projected. My model predicts money supply growth will level off very shortly, and then contract sharply at year's end. I remain on high alert for the next few weeks because I believe, just like every other time QE ended, and I think for all intents and purposes, it's over July 30th, the end of July. That's Fed meeting. QE, $25 billion a month, quickly going down to zero by October. Now, perhaps we have to wait till October before I get that 16.7% or maybe 20% correction. But I have a great game plan that I will launch in early August if this phony rally continues past then. But here's another nugget for you. I also am convinced that real interest rates will dip further into negative territory as we go throughout the remainder of 2014. And that means that gold-related investments should have a very significant tailwind for the next few quarters. And it is why I increased my exposure to metals, mining shares, and gold in general to 20% in the Penta Portfolio Strategies Inflation and Deflation Portfolio last week. That does it for this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentaport.com or call 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse, because when it does collapse, and it will, it is going to be incredibly painful for not only the United States, but for the entire globe. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.